Oh, anyway, you can turn to John 21. I'm going to pick up kind of where I left off the last time I spoke. It's always good to review. And what I had been talking about, I don't remember who all was here, but anyway, you remember we had a conversation about, with the tree branch, you know, and how the limb that was broke, you know, thought it was okay, you know, with the tree because it had leaved out and there was still just enough life flowing into it. And, you know, from its standpoint, it was doing great. But anybody else who was looking at that branch in the tree knew that it wasn't doing too good at all, and that the next good wind or storm that came up was just going to snap that thing off and they were going to be gone. And so that's how a lot of people are in the body of Christ. You know, they're doing things, they think just because they're doing things for God and they're busy about God's business that they're okay. But you're really not, because you haven't developed a personal relationship, a one-on-one relationship with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, so when those storms do hit your life, you can get through them. And the storms will come. Jesus promised us that. And then we went on to talk about some people that get all caught up in the next revival or the next move of God, and, you know, they're running here and there to these things, and then they're wondering, okay, well, is this move of God really of God? There's a lot of bam going on, or there's a lot of just other things going on, and are these things that are happening there, are they of the flesh, or are they truly of the Spirit of God? And, you know, it's okay to question stuff like that, but, you know, really, the bottom line is, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing, the things that I've told you to do about your life, you know, and quit being so concerned about these other people's lives out here. So, anyway, we went through chapter 21 here in detail pretty well. And we see that Jesus had appeared to the disciples. And this was about the third time that he had appeared to them. And he's on the beach there. The disciples had all decided to go fishing because they were really discouraged and depressed and decided to go fishing. So Jesus is on the beach. He joins them there. He cooks them breakfast. And so he's talking with Peter. Him and Peter go take a little stroll down the beach after all this is done. And, you know, and he's asking Peter, he asked him three times, do you love me? Well, you know, Peter got really grieved about it because, you know, he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And it was because, you know, he had denied him three times, so Jesus asked him three times. And so then, in verse 18, the Lord gives Peter some very important information. And in verse 18, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And that word old in the Greek actually means as an old man. He's going to live a very long time and become an old man. And he said, even though you're going to live a long time, you are still going to die for the gospel's sake. You're still going to be martyred. So, you know, this kind of shakes Peter up, and, you know, he's in shock, and he turns around and he sees John following a little ways behind them. You know, John's probably figuring, I want to hear what they're saying up there, you know. And so he says, well, what about this man back here? What about him? What's going to happen with him? Is he going to, you know, I could just hear Peter saying, is he going to die too? You know, is he going to die for you too? And so then in verse 22, it says, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Meaning it's none of your business what's going to happen to John. You do what I've asked you to do. Now, as we learn to spend a lot of time in prayer and fasting and confession of the word and meditation of the word, and all this, when we're working on all of this, what starts to happen to us is mortification of the flesh starts to happen. Or it should start happening, let's put it that way. We, as we delve into and on purpose go deeper into God using the tools and the weapons that He has given to us, our flesh should start to pull back more and more and more. It becomes less and less and less, has less and less control on us, our flesh, our emotions. And in so our fleshly appetites, our own agendas, you know, man has his own agenda. You know, there's a lot of preachers out there that have their own agenda in the name of God. I don't want to be that way. And I know you all here don't want to be that either. We want to flow in the power of God. We don't want to touch the glory or anything like that. We want it all by His Spirit here. So anyway, through John 14 through 16, so Jesus is introducing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And let's go over to John 16. So Jesus is introducing the Holy Spirit to them. And in verse 12, starting in verse 12, He's telling the disciples, this is during the Last Supper, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." Jesus is telling them, I'm going to heaven, and you're still going to be on this earth. But the Holy Spirit, being God, is going to be everywhere. He's going to be with me in heaven at the same time He's with you here on this earth. And when He comes to you, He's not coming to you on His own authority or His own lordship. He's coming to you with My lordship and My authority for you. So He's going to tell you things that He hears Me speak in heaven, and He's going to speak them directly into your ear here on this earth. Basically, it's a hotline, a direct hotline for you from heaven to your ear. I know all of you want to be in control, to have Jesus in control of your own businesses, your homes, your jobs, everything about your life. But most of the body of Christ really does not know how to hear the voice of God. And we try, and a lot of people try, to find His voice in all the wrong places. We try to find it coming out of our minds. We try to find it as a guessing game. Out of our minds, we think we should be hearing a literal voice all the time, which is not true. But it's spirit to spirit that we hear Him. Holy Spirit to our spirit is how we connect with Him and hear Him. Now we're going to flip over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be flipping around a little bit. And so that's kind of just a review there of what I talked about the last time I was preaching. So now over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul had gotten these Corinthians born again. We're going to go to verse 12. And it says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Okay? We have received not the spirit of this world. We have not received the spirit of this world. When we're born again, when we're born the first time, we are born with a sin nature. And how many of us, when our children were born, our grandchildren, how many of us taught them how to lie? How many of us taught them how to be selfish and throw tantrums if they didn't get their own way? None of us. Okay? So what we were trying to do with them is to teach them out of these things. So where did these things come from? Why are they throwing such fits, and why are they like this? It's because of that sin nature that was passed down from Adam. all of us are born with it. There's just no way out of it because of Adam. And so in verse 12, it continues on, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. What things that have been freely given to us? Grace and inheritance have been freely given to us by God. Adam gave us the sin nature, but when we're born again, that man, that old sin nature, is now dead, and we have a new nature in God, in Christ. And so now we have grace and inheritance to look forward to. Continuing with verse 13, these things we also speak. Yes, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay? Spiritually discerned. This is where your leadership comes from. We have to spiritually discern the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's that place. That's where we learn how to locate that place on the inside of us where the Holy Spirit speaks to us from. I referred to it last time as locating the ear of your spirit, and I know a lot of you probably see this giant ear, an image of an ear, you know, on the inside of you trying to, you know, hear from. But it's simply that place on the inside of you, and it's really simple. It's simply that place on the inside of you that you're trying to determine and locate, that you know, that you know, that you know that God speaks directly to you from. And that is what our goal is to do, is to how to locate that and hear His voice clearly in our lifetime. Now, over in chapter 14, still 1 Corinthians, over in 14, verse 14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." And then if we go over to 14:2, it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." What mysteries? These things that have been freely given to us by God. Those are the mysteries we're speaking. How about the call? What kind of call you have for your life? How about those assignments He has for you to do on a daily basis? Do you know God has assignments for us to do every day? Every single day. It's just like when He was on this earth walking with the disciples, and they'd get up in the morning, they'd go, "Okay, Jesus, where are we going today? What are we going to do?" And He might say, "Well, we're going to head down to Judea today. And, you know, we're going to just walk along here, and we're going to just head that way." And so they head that way, and they start doing it. Okay, it's the same way with the Holy Spirit. He's our best friend. He talks to us as a friend. Excuse me. Friend to friend. Have you ever considered the Holy Spirit being your friend, like a best friend? Like, do you ever visualize Him being right here next to you every moment of every hour of every day? He's there. Whether you feel Him or not, whether you, of course you can't see Him, but He's there. All the time. All the time. And so, just as Jesus walked with the disciples, we have the Holy Spirit walking with us every single day. But in order to get to that place of hearing His assignments on a daily basis, learning what He wants us to do every day, it takes a yielding of our flesh. It takes us sitting down and praying in tongues and learning to locate that place on the inside of us. And as we're praying, and as we're praying, and as we're praying and praying and praying and praying and trying to hear His voice, Practicing isn't a dirty word in the spiritual realm. It's okay to practice the things of God. When you least expect it, He's going to start speaking to you. Now, He's always speaking to us, but at that point, you have now moved yourself into a position to where you're able to start hearing Him for yourself. Isn't that exciting? Let's flip over to Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice or worship in the hope of the glory of God. Justified by faith. Justified because of your complete trust, your faith, your complete trust in Him. Having been justified, having a complete trust in God, we have peace. We have peace in Him because we are completely trusting Him. And then we have access by faith into this grace. We have a complete trust in God through Jesus Christ into our inheritance. That grace is our inheritance. By grace we enter that inheritance. Faith. It takes faith to enter the grace to go into our inheritance that He has given us. When we became born again, everything in heaven that Jesus had for us became ours. We just have to learn how to access everything He's given to us freely. Are you getting the picture of learning how to, we have to learn how to access. Everything is at our disposal. Everything is at our disposal. As we are practicing and learning to trust Him, okay, it takes practice to learn how to trust Him. It takes practice. Just like in the natural. Sometimes you know you could trust somebody on the spot, but that's by the Spirit of God if you know that. But to really trust somebody, it takes a getting to know them. Sometimes years of getting to know them. You watch them closely. You watch what they say. Are they true to their word? Are they full of integrity? Do they do what they say? And if they can't follow through with it, do they come to you and they say, hey, and are up front? So you learn that trust. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. He watches us to see what level of trust we have in our hearts. If we have a certain level of trust in our hearts, then there's certain things that He can ask us to do that He knows we'll follow through on. You know, He doesn't want to get us into rebellion or into sin by not being obedient to Him. So He's not going to be putting things on us or asking us to do things that He knows we do not or are unable to do at that time, be able to follow through in complete obedience. He's not going to do that because He's not going to bring condemnation on us. The enemy brings enough condemnation. We ourselves bring enough condemnation on ourselves when we do stuff like that. So He is constantly observing us and monitoring us to check the capacity of our hearts to trust, to see if we will be obedient to whatever He wants us to do at that moment. And I don't know what it would be. But anyway, you know, each one of us, it would be different. But He's constantly monitoring us. He tells us over in John that there are many things He wants to share with them. He tells the disciples, but because of their trust level, because of their capacity to understand spiritual things, He can't share them. So it's just like with us here. When we come to church and you hear the word, and we encourage you to get into the word and to meditate the word, you're getting your capacity up to a level to where your trust is being built in Him and what He says. And so, you know, it just keeps going and going and going like that. And so it develops. You know, if we don't know certain things in the Word and we're taught them, then we're developing that trust and that faith because we're learning. We're constantly learning, and it's building line upon line, precept upon precept, and it's growing and it's learning. And so that's how the capacity within us grows, to learn these things and be able to do what He has said. However, because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide into all truth, the Holy Spirit is our guide into all truth through praying in tongues. I know you sometimes probably get tired of hearing us saying, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. But that is a very vital and important part to your life and your walk of the Spirit, is to pray in tongues. It's an awesome, wonderful, marvelous gift. The Father longs to be able to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. He's your friend. He's your counselor. Because the Holy Spirit, it says, Jesus sent Him to be our friend and to be our counselor. So if the Holy Spirit is our friend and our counselor, that means God the Father is our friend and our counselor. Because He only speaks what He hears Jesus and the Father speak. The Father longs to take you by the hand and lead you as a child. Longs to do that. Can you see the image of a father with his children, maybe one on each side, by the hand and walking down the road, protecting them, keeping them safe? This is what He longs to do for each one of us. He wants us to get that image on the inside of us. Because that will build confidence, and that will be build trust, and that will be when the Holy Spirit speaks for us to do something, we'll do it, and the power will be there to do it. Because we trust and we know that God is true to His Word. Because we have built that relationship with Him. He hasn't left us here to grope along the way in the dark at all. He doesn't want us doing that. Too many of our lives are like that. Too many people in the body of Christ are like that. They don't know what direction they're going. They're just going down this path, you know, trying to feel. When the key is personal relationship with allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that into your life. We need to just take advantage of this precious gift. And I know some of you, I'm speaking to the choir, but you know, it doesn't matter. We need to hear this over and over and over and over and over again until we're doing it, until it becomes real in our life, until it becomes alive in our life, alive, until you're walking to the, until it's, you're to the point of where no matter what you're doing throughout the day, or where you're at throughout the day, if you just stop for a few seconds, you just sense the Holy Spirit is there with you. You just have this knowing. You just have this knowing He is there with you constantly, constantly, constantly. And that's my goal. That is my goal. I want that all the time. I want that all the time. I'm getting there, you know. And we can't go by feelings. We can't go by feelings. And it's been a long time that I've been in this message and that I've heard this message. I mean, it's been 20 years. It's been a long time. And no, I was not very good in the beginning. And the Lord told me one time, you have to quit riding Charlie's coattails. Okay? That was a wake-up call. I remember exactly where I was in the house we were living in at Sepulpa when He told me that. That was like, wow, what? You know? Because this is a personal, one-on-one way of life. You know? And I can say now that And I'm not bragging or anything like that. I just, excuse me, know from experience and from really getting in there that there are times during the day I can stop and I can just, I don't know how to explain it. It's just a knowing. I just know that I know that I know. He is just there with me no matter what. He is there with me. He's my friend. He's there. But you know, I tell myself every morning, I try to tell myself every morning, the Holy Spirit is my friend. He's my counselor. He is living within me. He is with me every moment of every hour of every day. And since He is living in me, and He is the power of the living God, that means I have the power of the living God living in me. So that means anytime, anywhere I am during a day, if He wants to do something, miracles can happen. Somebody could get their healing. Somebody could get their eyesight. Somebody could have their ears popped open. You know, somebody's limb could be lengthened. It doesn't matter because the power of God resides in me because of the Holy Spirit being my friend. Do you realize that all options for failure are gone? We have no excuse to fail because we have the power of God living on the inside of us. If we can get that, I mean, this is a good thing because of these confessions that we're going through. I mean, you need to be confessing over your life about the Holy Spirit, what He is to you. What He is to you. There is no option for failure. We have the greatest thing on the inside of us ever. And so there's no option for failure. I should know. You know, a person, if they've really been had a problem with intimidation during their life, bad, and I have, am I totally free? No, but I am way far away from where I used to be. You know, I still catch little things there. But there's no option for failure. No option for failure, we need to tell ourselves. No option for failure. But we have to practice the things we've been taught. We have to practice them. You're going to have to learn how, like I said, learn to become aware of His presence in your life. Practice becoming aware of His presence. I remember one time I heard Gary Carpenter say, he said, I went to the point of where when I got in my car, I cleared off the seat beside me, just wiped it off and said, Holy Spirit, sit down. And the Holy Spirit was with him in the car, and he would talk to him in the car on that particular drive like he was sitting right there in the flesh. Because he had to get an image for himself to grasp hold of that he's there. No matter what, he's there with him. If that's what you have to do, then do it. I don't, you know, whatever it takes, do it. And you're going to have to learn how to pray in tongues under your breath almost constantly. I know there are times when you can't, you know, but during those times where you don't have to have your mind engaged in something to where you're just concentrating really hard on something, under your breath, just constantly, start practicing praying in tongues. And if you catch yourself with your mouth closed and it's not moving, it's like, oh, okay, and just start back up again. Just start praying. Just quietly praying. Just quietly praying. Practicing. Hearing His voice. Becoming sensitive to those inner witnesses He's bringing your way. Because He'll speak to you through an inner witness. He'll speak to you through revelation knowledge. As you're praying in tongues, all of a sudden, something you didn't know, you now know. Revelation knowledge comes to your way. Just quietly praying in tongues throughout the day, not bothering anybody. Just going about your business. Just praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Learning to get that spot, pinpoint that spot that's on the inside of you. You know, it's just like from the time that we're born again, born into this world, we learn how to do things. As babies, we learn how to sit up. then we learn how to crawl, we learn how to walk, pull ourselves up, we learn how to walk, we learn how to run. Okay, now, we didn't give up after the first time we fell trying to get up and go walk, did we? How about riding a bike? When you got your first bike and you were all excited, you know, and it's like, you know, and you finally, you know, most of us had, I don't know, I had one with training wheels, but the day came when Dad takes the training wheels off the bike and you get to learn how to balance yourself on that. How many times did you fall before you quit falling and you got your balance just right and kept going? You didn't give up. What makes people think that you got to give up if something doesn't happen after once or twice with the things of God? It's just the devil playing around with your mind, you know, and it's just religion, which Charlie made a good comment a couple weeks ago. Religion will make you stupid, you know. Religion telling you this stuff. You know, you have to practice. Like I said, practice is not a dirty word in the spiritual, in your spiritual life. Just like in the natural, you have to practice things. You have to practice to learn how to play the piano, ride a bike, just whatever you have to practice. You have to practice the things of God in the Spirit. You have to practice how praying in tongues. You have to practice and learn how to meditate the Word. It takes practice learning how to meditate the Word. It takes practice on confessing, because your body will tell you you don't want to go out and confess. And you grab yourself by the ear and say, come on, we're going to go confess. I don't care what you say. You know? It takes practice. Now, there's a learning curve while we're practicing. Okay, just like there's a learning curve in the natural world, there's a learning curve in the spiritual too. There's a learning curve while you're practicing these things. And in the beginning, you'll make your trips to the barbershop. What I mean by that is you feel like God has told you to go down to the barbershop and you're going to witness to this person and they're going to get saved at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you go down to the barbershop at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the barbershop is closed and there's nobody on the streets, and then you're asking God, why did you send me down here, God? There's nobody here. And then you go to your pastor and you say, why did God do that to me? Why did he send me and do that to me? And it's like, it's because that wasn't God. It was your own emotions or it was the enemy, one of the two, you know? So we're going to have trips like that. But you know what? You learn from those trips. You learn to distinguish what was your soul, your emotion, what could have been the enemy, or what is God. See? So there's a learning curve. Any voice that you start to hear that leads you away from the path of God is not the Holy Spirit. Okay? If he leads you into lasciviousness or things that you know that are against the Lord, it's a definite no. It's a definite no. Listen for those checks on the inside of you. Like I said, those inner witnesses. When you're praying and then you get quiet, like I said, you might get an inner witness, you might get revelation knowledge. You know, he guides us. He guides us into all truth. And he guides us into the truth of the knowledge of the Father's will for each one of our lives. It all comes from the Holy Spirit. And learning to find that spot on the inside of you through using the tools and the keys that he's given us. It comes from learning how to start trusting him. Trusting him. You might be thinking, well, I trust the Holy Spirit now. Okay, do you really? Okay. How about when he asks you to do something out of the normal? Let's say you just received $100 for your birthday. And you've got something all picked out. You know exactly what you're going to do with that money, and you're so excited about it. And the Lord speaks up on the inside of you and says, I want you to take that money and give it to so-and-so. And you go, what money, Lord? Because in your mind, that money's gone, you know. It's earmarked, you know. There is no money. And he says, that money you got for your birthday. Oh. Okay, now the ball's back in your park. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to trust that you really heard the Holy Spirit and you're going to be obedient to what he says to do? Or are you going to ignore him? See, this is where the Holy Spirit is continually monitoring our hearts, checking those trust levels if we're going to be obedient to him or not. It's a learning process. It's a learning process. One of the greatest examples that we have is Jesus. Jesus walked this earth as 100% man. Even though he was God, he walked the earth as 100% man. Our example, in the flesh, baptized with the Holy Spirit and with the power of God on the inside of him, just like you and I have today. So let's go over to John 11. I want to show you some stuff. And I know Charlie touched on this a little bit when he was teaching, but I'm going to go back over it. It's always good to review, in my opinion. Get it down on the inside of us better. So John 11, starting with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Okay, verse 4. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. How many of us have heard this verse pulled out of context, justifying sickness and death for the glory of God? I think all of us have. And you know, it just wants to make me vomit. That is just, you know, just gets to me. And so basically they're teaching, Jesus left one of his very best friends to suffer and die in agony. Almost like he didn't care to a point. But just so that he could go over there and raise him up from the dead and glorify God. Now that's a pretty egotistical narcissistic attitude is how I think of that. It reminds you of those caretakers who make people sick, you know, just to help them get better so their egos get stroked. That's what that reminds me of. But you know what? The God I serve is not like that. He's not like that at all. And there was a reason why Jesus stayed 2 extra days. But you have to go back to chapter 10 where Jesus was teaching and the Jews got really mad at him and picked up stones and they were going to stone him. They were going to kill him. But it wasn't his time yet to be, you know, to die. The enemy was constantly during that 3.5 years trying to destroy him or trying to get him to die early so he couldn't accomplish the plan of God. So they were in Judea and they were going to stone him, but he slipped away and he left. So he's 2 days away from Lazarus and Lazarus gets sick. And so, you know what it's like when people are pulling on you? Say somebody, one of your best friends gets sick, okay? And the family calls, oh, please, you got to come, you got to come, you got to come. They're going to die. You got to come pray for them, you know. And they're pulling on you and pulling on you and pulling on you. And, you know, if you're walking in a healing anointing like Jesus did, and you know that when you pray for somebody, God does it immediately, you know, our first inclination is to just drop everything, get up and go run and go pray for them. But what we should be doing is going, okay, Father, what is it? Holy Spirit, what's your counsel on this? It doesn't matter what is happening here, how bad it looks. What is your counsel on this? What am I supposed to be doing right now? And see, that's what Jesus did. He had such a relationship with the Holy Spirit that he sought the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And because the Jews had things so stirred up over there, wanting to kill him, the Holy Spirit told him, you stay put for 2 days. The enemy has set a trap for you. If you go back now, they'll kill you. And that'll be the end of God's plan and what he wants to do. You stay here. In 2 days, the Jews will think you're not coming back. They'll give up. They'll disperse. Then we'll go back and Lazarus will still be raised from the dead. God will still get glorified through this. So that's what he did. He stayed there for those 2 days. And then let's continue reading here. So then, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed there 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. They thought he was crazy. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again? It's like, are you sure? I don't think that's such a good idea. You know, they want to kill you over there. Verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. He is telling them he is not like somebody who is stumbling around in the dark, tripping over all kinds of obstacles. He's walking in the light of the revelation that the Holy Spirit has revealed to him. Lazarus is dead, and the Jews have dispersed, and they think they're not. He's not coming back there, and so now is the time to go back. He's safe. And what the Holy Spirit told him and what he told the disciples, that this sickness was not unto death, was still going to happen for Lazarus, and he was raised up. Now, Jesus is talking about being led by the light of the perfect revelation knowledge. That's what we get with the Holy Spirit. That perfect revelation knowledge for our life. Details. We can have details from the Holy Spirit. He knew exactly what he was supposed to be doing. Jesus knew exactly what he was supposed to be doing because of that relationship with him. This wasn't something that was just because he was God that was just dropped on him. He's walking as our example, showing us we can do this also. This is for us. This is attainable. How Jesus walked is how we can walk. He did not have to stumble. He was listening for the leadership of the Holy Spirit just like you and I can. He's our pattern. He's the mark that we're pressing towards. He's our high calling. As he walked, we can walk. Now, the Holy Spirit took on this role. He took on this role to be with each one of us. Each one of us on a daily basis. And the only thing he cares about, the Holy Spirit cares about, is revealing to us and bringing to us a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. each one of us, our own personal relationship. We can actually get to the place in our life that in the midst of the most horrific, the most horrible, raging storm going on all around us, we can hear His voice and know exactly what to do. This with Lazarus, one of his very best friends, was a raging storm. A raging storm. And he was being pulled on all sides because there was word coming from Mary and word coming from Martha tugging at him. You've got to come. You've got to come. Lazarus, whom you love, is dying. How would that pull at your heartstrings? So this was a raging storm. This was a raging storm. But he centered in and he got quiet on the inside of himself. Got quiet and says, Holy Spirit, what am I to do? What do you want me to do? Same thing with us. In the midst of a most horrendous storm, we can get quiet. If we have been practicing these things that we're being taught, and we can learn how to get quiet on the inside of us, He will speak to us from that place and He will tell you exactly what to do. Even though the entire world may give you opposing counsel and tell you there's no way, but on that quietness on the inside of you, if you have a relationship with Him, you will know exactly what to do. Revelation. Revelation. Truth. Truth. But this stuff doesn't happen overnight. It takes practice. It takes diligence. It takes endurance. Endurance is the key word. It takes endurance. It takes becoming aware of His presence on a daily basis. But if you really want it, it's yours because He freely gave it to you. It's all yours. It's all yours. It's all yours. Can we do that song, Jesus, again? That last one? I love that song. Let's worship. Let's just worship Him and really think about those words. You know, there's healing in that name. There's healing in that name. There's rest in that name. There's peace in that name. There's provision in that name. Everything you could possibly need, possibly want, is in that name. Jesus. That name above every name. His presence is so sweet here tonight. It's like if you just take a deep breath, you'll just breathe in His essence because of that name, Jesus. Let's just worship Him, who we owe our everything to.